Blog Talk Radio.
To tell you.
praise him out loud right where you are worshiping. Hallelujah. 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 You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good evening, everybody. This is Reaching Out Radio. This is Evangelist Edward Everly. The name of the program is God's Word in Action. God's Word in Action. We're on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central Time. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. We're here to share the love of Jesus Christ and the power of God with each and every one here. And you're not here just by chance, but you're here for a purpose. And God wants to minister to you tonight by His Spirit. God wants to minister to you. I'd like to welcome everybody here and just pray God's blessing upon each and every one of you. I wanted to let you know now, Evangelist Montel Williams won't be with us, or Montel Fields, excuse me, she won't be with us this evening. So we won't be having any call-ins tonight. But what we're going to do, for those who have prayer requests, they have questions, comments, whatever it might be, contact me at my website. It's www.extendedhandsofjesus.org. That's www.extendedhandsofjesus.org. And you can see that also if you look at the, if you're on the internet right now, on the slides right there, if you just scroll down, you'll see my name, you'll see the location where I can be contacted, you'll see about my book, and you'll see a lot of different things down there. So I would ask you all to read that over because it tells a little bit of information about myself and the ministry. But just scroll down there and notify me, just get in contact with me because I'd be glad to minister to you, pray with you, or whatever it might be, because that's my purpose of being on this radio program is to minister to you. I'm here in here to see people saved, healed, delivered, set free, and on fire for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And I know that He will do it in you and through you because God that worketh in you to do His purpose and will in your life, according to Philippians 2:13. It's He that works in you if you let Him work in you. So God wants to work in you tonight. Last week, we had the beginning of our series here. In fact, the series is called God's Promises from Foundation to Finish. God's Promises from Foundation to Finish. Last week was part one. Now, there's going to be a four-part series. Today is the second part. Now, last week we dealt with the purpose of the promises of God, the conditions of the promises, and the surety of those promises. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it live last week, you can go to On Demand on the site here, and I'm going to give you the site to contact right here, and you can listen to it there because many people that don't get to hear the series or hear the programs on live, they will go to the on-demand section and they can listen to them. But you go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That is www.blogtalkradio.com, and you can listen to it. But the on-demand section right there. Now, this series, it's really important, even though you don't have to listen to it in sequence, but it's good if you listen like today. If you missed last week's there, naturally you'll listen to today's part, then go back to part one, which was last week, or that way you'll have both of them, and then next week we'll start the third part and then the final part the following week. Now, the purpose of this series right here, and the purpose of God's promises, is threefold. To, first of all, equip us, to enable us, and to provide for us. Now, last week, we introduced the things there, and we got our foundational teaching on it. Now, tonight, I'm going to be ministering on being equipped by the promises of God and being enabled. Then the next 2 weeks are going to be the provisions that God has in His promises, because there's many promises of provision for us. And we need to know these things, because what we don't know will hurt us. We perish for lack of knowledge. And we need to have knowledge of the Word of God and what His Word says about that, that you and I can incorporate His promises in our life in times of need. That's so very important. So today we're going to start out with part number two. But before we start out, I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads now. Let's just ask the Lord to bless this service as we get ready to minister. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege tonight to minister on the radio. Father, we know that there's no distance to prayer, or there's no distance to words and your power. No matter where the people are, whether it be in a foreign country, whether it be in the United States, no matter where they're at, where they hear that word, we know that your presence is there with them to meet that need and to direct them and instruct them, to deliver them, to set them free, whatever you would do, Lord. So tonight I just ask you that you would just speak through me the words that you would have said tonight. And Lord, I pray that you use these words because you promise us in your word it will not come back void, but it will go forth and bring forth what it was intentions of it was for. So, Father, right now I just believe that your word will not go through void, but it will come back bringing forth results. And, Father, for everything that's accomplished tonight, we'll give you all the praise and the glory, which in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen, amen, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, tonight we're going to start with the unclaimed promises that equip us. These are promises that you and I wouldn't necessarily like to claim. We don't particularly like to claim these. But, you know, some things are inevitable in our life. You know, just to kind of give you a little idea what I'm saying is, you know, the law of gravity happens. In other words, if you hold something in your hand and you release it, it's going to fall to the floor. The law of gravity. What goes up must come down. And there are certain laws and promises in God's word that says things are going to happen if we do certain things, just like the good promises of God. If we do this, we do that, we receive this, we receive that. Well, there's some promises here that we don't like, but yet we need to learn about these promises, because if we don't, we're going to be overtaken and be shocked about it and maybe caused to quit or be discouraged or just operate in fear or just be discouraged by it. And we need to know what these things are that we know what to expect. We need to know what we do expect. It's just like a fighter. A fighter usually, if he's fighting a championship fight, he likes to watch what the other fighter does and how he fights, that he knows how to counteract what this man does, you see. And we need to know our adversary, the devil, and just what his tricks are and what he does, that when he tries to throw a punch at us, we can block that punch, you see. So we need to know these promises and how they can equip us that you and I won't be hurt by them, you see, because what we don't know can hurt us. Now, we have several promises right here, unclaimed promises, I call it, that equip us. We don't claim them per se that we want them, but yet we deal with them when they come our way. First thing is tribulation. In John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In other words, in Jesus we have peace, he tells us. In him we have peace. This is Jesus speaking here. But in the world there's tribulation. So that means we are in him. In truth, we're already sitting in heavenly places if we're in Jesus Christ. But we're in the world in our body, right? So we need to live in him and live in that peace in spite of the tribulation that comes our way in the world. And this is what this scripture is about. He said, be of good cheer. He said, you're going to have tribulation in the world. He said, I had it. But he said, be of good cheer because I overcame the world, and you will too, because you overcome the world through me. You're in me, and because I overcame it, I'm taking you through too. He said, put a smile on your face and be of good cheer. Remember, we speak a lot about this, about the joy of the Lord. Of course, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we need that joy of the Lord in our hearts, so we're of good cheer when we are attacked. You know, I know a lot of Christians now, and I talked to a very dear friend of mine last night, and this dear friend of mine, the devil tried to take her out. And she was actually caught up out of her body, and she had to speak to the Lord, and she spoke that she wasn't ready, and she had work to do. And, of course, when she spoke and she prayed that word, she came back into her body. But the devil tried to take her out. And I've known other cases of people now that are going through terrible times, and it's really something, it's what is happening. But, you know, I can tell you why that is happening also, because we're getting ready for the biggest revival, the greatest outpouring, and the greatest distribution of wealth, and the greatest move of God that has ever happened on this earth. That's what's happening. And that's why people are being tried, you see. They're being tempered, and the devil's trying to do this thing. But listen, he said, if you are of good cheer when these things come at you, you're going to overcome like I did. But, you know, if you don't have that joy, you can't overcome, can you? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't have that joy and that good cheer, how are you and I going to overcome? We can't have a sour frown on our face and speak discouraging words and be downhearted and say, woe is me. I shouldn't have this happen to me. Woe is me. Why did this happen to me? A pity party. And if we get into something like that, then we feel that we're all alone. Nobody cares for us. Nobody loves us. And we're just ready to throw the towel, you see. And that's where Satan wants you and I. But Jesus said, don't let that happen to you. He said, you be a good cheer. He said, you're going to have tribulation. This is not an unexpected or strange thing. But he said, you just be of good cheer and leave my joy be in you. And I've overcome the world, and you're going to overcome it through me, right? Doesn't Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? Through him, you can do all things. Amen. You can do, and you need to have that mindset. You see, it's a matter of a mindset. It's a matter of determination in the mindset, this walk with Jesus. It's not just a half-hearted thing in what we say and what we do, but it's a full-hearted thing. And I don't mean fool. I didn't mean fool, F-O-O-L, but a fool, F-U-L-L. A full-hearted meaning business thing that you're going forth. Amen. You and I need to have that Rocky spirit, I like to call it, like that movie Rocky that Sylvester Stallone made years ago. And that's quite a movie of determination and fight. And look what it got him the championship. And that's what it gets us in Jesus Christ if we go forward. The Lord spoke to me tonight, a scripture in Galatians 6:9. He said, be not weary in well-doing, for you'll reap in due season if you faint not. So don't be weary in what you're doing. You might think that I've been doing it a long, long, long time, and I'm just so hard for me to do it any longer. I'm tired. I'm weary. What's the use? But don't be weary in that thing. Just go forth. Continue to do what you've been doing, because you are going to come forth. And this is really, and I'll tell you, folks, this is a season to come forth in our personal lives as well as our ministries like never before. We're going to see a jolt and a jump one of these days very shortly. And it's happening in a suddenly form. But you and I have to be faithful until that time. This time is really now, this year, folks. There's going to be a move of God this year that's going to shake this world. It's beginning now, but it's just beginning, you see. But you and I have to remain faithful. Okay, he says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And you can understand why you're going to suffer persecution, because Jesus, Satan hates Jesus. Jesus defeated him in the pits of hell. He made a show of him openly. He destroyed him. He wiped him out. He hates Jesus Christ. So if you and I are walking a godly life and being obedient to Jesus Christ and living godly for him, he resents that because he knows that we belong to Jesus and we're living for him, and he's trying to do everything he can to destroy us, to get us to stop, to give us a bad testimony, to discourage us, to lead us astray. So it's going to happen, you see. The more godly and the more effective you are in what you do against Satan, the more of a threat you become to him, and the more he wants to really get you out of the way, you see. The bigger threats you are, the bigger demons, okay? The bigger demons, the bigger forces that come against you, the more deadly you are to him, you see. So if you want to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, make up your mind, hey, you are going to have persecution coming your way. And persecution comes to sometimes, unfortunately, those that are in the body of Christ. You're persecuted because of the way you stand, because many people are jealous. Many people are resentful because they don't want to live that way, and they don't like to see somebody else do that because it convicts them. It convicts them sometimes, you see. But don't pay any mind to what people think or say or even do. Just concentrate on doing the thing that pleases God, because when you do that and you have peace in your heart, then you know you're all right, because if God is for you, who can be against you? And it will work out. God will take care of you. He never fails his people. He's never failed me yet. He's not going to fail you. The next thing he says in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Listen, I tell you, I think personally in my own life, many afflictions have came over these 46 years. But I want to tell you something. The Lord delivered us out of them all, and he delivered me out of them all. He delivered my wife out of them all. I could sit on here to where I'm at right now and could speak to you till next week at this time, telling you of events that have happened that God has did mighty things. Many things I've forgotten. I wish I would have written them down from the time when I first got saved. Can you imagine what would have happened if you'd have written everything down what the Lord did for you and how he spared you, how he saved you, how he kept you from ever being killed, how he provided for you? You know, you could write volumes with that. Each one of us could if you've known the Lord for any length of time and served the Lord any length of time. So many afflictions are come your way to try to hurt you and destroy you. But recognize this, that they will not hold fast to you because you will throw them off by the power of God. He said, the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not a few of them or part of them or one here and there, but all of them. Make it up your mind that you are going through. You are going through. You will not be stopped. You are going through because you're following Jesus Christ. And for you not to go through would be for somebody or something to stop Jesus. Now, who can stop Jesus? Who can stop God? It's a sure thing, folks. It's a sure thing. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. I've had some strange things recently happen to me, very strange. But, you know, it's still the same devil. Maybe it's something I haven't experienced before. Maybe it's something you haven't experienced before. But it's still coming from the same cheap bag of tricks by Satan. And you and I have to realize that he is still Satan. And there's nothing new under the sun. And maybe it's new to us what we experience. But don't let that shake you up. Maybe it's a little more intense, maybe it's a little more different. But don't leave that shake you up in any way, because he wants to try to scare you by doing something different. Say, oh, my, what's going on here now? What's happening? Oh, my, I've never experienced this before. Oh, my, what's going to happen to me? So he wants to shake you up, you see. Recognize that any of this stuff that comes against you to hurt you is from him, and know what's greater than that. In fact, you have authority over him. You, in the name of Jesus, you cast him down. In the name of Jesus, he has to obey you by God's word. He has to obey you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us we have authority over evil forces, over demonic spirits. Mark 16 says that we should cast out devils. We have authority over him. So you see, in the name of Jesus, he cannot hurt us if we use Jesus' name and use his faith. Okay. Next thing, unclaimed promises we're talking about that equip us. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Now, some people misconstrue that verse. So they think, well, if you're sick, if you're broke, or whatever is your way, if you're in that position, be content with it, be satisfied with it. It doesn't actually mean that. And that's that we don't want to be in any of those places. God doesn't want us there. But what it means, if you're attacked and in that place, don't be discouraged. Be content. In other words, have the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. Don't leave it affect you, but continue to go forward without it hindering you and causing you to fear and worry and cry and things like that, you see. Don't let it hurt you. Don't let it stop you. Have a smile on your face and love Jesus Christ. And people will not know when you're going through something or if you are going through something. In other words, they should be able to look at you and I and they say, well, I don't know if this brother or sister is going through anything or not, because they always seem to be the same. They're always up. They're always praising the Lord. They're not talking down, woe is me, oh, things are so, oh, Lord help me. They're not talking like that. They're always talking about the Lord, praising the Lord, talking about his power, his word, and they're always glorifying the Lord. They're always being uplifting to me. They're always encouraging me, so I don't know if that man or woman's down or not. See, that's the way you and I should appear to people, you see, and that's what that verse means here. In other words, Paul came to the place he knew that no matter what he experienced, he had the victory, and it didn't discourage him. He just kept going on rejoicing in Jesus Christ. We saw that in the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, where they were praising the Lord when they were in jail, Paul and Silas. And as they were praising the Lord, and that dungeon was a horrible place, what happened when they were praising the Lord in spite of all that horrible surrounding they experienced? But the jail cells broke open. They broke open. It was in that praise, you see. So you see there's power in that praise when you and I are going through difficulties, difficult times, that we could say, oh, God, I feel like just giving up. I'm mad. I'm angry. You start praising the Lord in the midst of those times and worshiping the Lord, and that's what's going to break the chains of these things to try to have you and I in bondage. We have to praise the Lord in spite of that. Say, Lord, I praise you in spite of the way I'm feeling in my body, in spite of my financial situation, in spite of my circumstances, my family, in spite of my marriage. I praise you. I worship the Lord. You are God. You're my God, my healer, my deliverer, the one that sets me free, my peace, my joy, my strength. As you speak those things and start thanking him and telling him how wonderful a God that he is, that's when things happen, because that's what happened in the book of Acts there. And, you know, if he did that for Paul and Silas, he'll do it for you and I. But you and I just have to learn to praise the Lord more when we're facing adversity, instead of complaining or looking the other way or just not acting the way that we should act. Because, listen, if the Lord delivers us out of all these afflictions, what are we murmuring about? What are we afraid of? He said he can deliver us out of them all. But he's not going to deliver us out of them all if you and I are complaining about him or cursing him or something like that, or blaming him or getting mad at him or just saying, Lord, I quit. You failed me, Lord, or something like that. He doesn't do that. We have to acknowledge him and praise him in spite of it. When you and I do that, then that's when we're going to see these prison doors open for you and I in all ways that we have needs. I hadn't planned on saying that tonight, but the Holy Ghost wanted maybe some people to hear that tonight. Each one of us need to hear that, folks. Each one of us, including myself. The next thing that we have the promises, we just finished the unclaimed promises that equip us. And if we have these few that I mentioned right here, as you listen to this message, and I would advise you to listen to these messages, not just me tonight, but listen to these on demand, because as you listen to these and write these scriptures down, look at these scriptures and meditate on them and then say, Lord, how can I apply these to my life? But just these few scriptures I went over that equip us, if you and I have those down in our hearts right, we're going to be starting something. It's going to get us somewhere, folks. It's going to take us somewhere. So we're going to be at the place we are going to be equipped in. I don't say this is everything, because we never teach the full Bible, because we don't know the full Bible. There's no preacher that knows the full Bible. I hear ministers say, well, I preach the total Bible, and that's not true. We preach what we know, what we have revelation of. But just in this little bit right here, there's much in this. As you leave the Holy Spirit, give you revelation on these verses I shared, these teachings a little bit that I've given you so far on the unclaimed promises that equip us. The next phase here that I said was the promises that will enable us within. Promises that enable us within. This is how we're enabled within, because it all begins within. Nothing comes without on the outside of us till it begins on the inside. It begins on the inside, then it comes out. So these are the promises that enable us within. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Jesus said you shall receive power or dunamis, ability. And also that word power means authority. So you actually have authority and ability after the Holy Ghost comes upon you that you can be witnesses in every area. This is the power of enablement right there. You see, this enables you to do what Jesus did, you see. We need this power to do these things. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. But what did he tell the people at Pentecost? I remember, there's 120. There's far, far more than that that were saved, but 120 showed up to the upper room. And he told the people, he said, you tarry till the Holy Ghost comes upon you before you go forth. You see, if you and I try to go forth without being really filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and try to serve God, it won't happen. It's like seeing a car, a brand new car in a showroom and buying it. No gasoline in it, and then you're trying to start up and drive it away. It won't go anywhere, will it? It doesn't have gasoline. So you're like that vehicle. You're God's vehicle, but you don't have the Holy Ghost, which in this case the Holy Ghost would be gasoline. You're not going to go anywhere, right? And that's the same in the spiritual. You wouldn't go anywhere in a car without any gas, and you wouldn't go anywhere in your spiritual life. In fact, the Word of God says in Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So the power of God is the enablement for you to be and do what Jesus did. He said, the things that I do, so will you do even greater things in John 14:12. And you will do these greater things. He will do them through you, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not you at all. You're just a vessel. You have the significance of an ink pen. You're just a vessel. And that's it. It's not your power. It's not your great knowledge, your great understanding, but it's him through you. And when you and I learn that, we recognize that it's not us doing anything, but it's simply him doing it through us. Then we can be bold, because we aren't dependent on our ability. We're dependent on the ability of Jesus. Amen? So through that power, you need to be filled with the power of God, the Holy Ghost. You need that power. Without it, you're helpless. I'm helpless. Luke 6:38. given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal shall it be measured to you again. Okay? We use that many times for giving. For giving, like for finances, money. If we give, what we give, God multiplies it back, and we use men to give to our bosom. But you know, that can be other things of giving also. It can be a smile to somebody, an encouraging word, a help to somebody, whatever it is. Because the law, they call it the law of reciprocity, of giving and receiving and sowing and reaping. And, you know, what we give out will come back to us, you see. Whether it's good that we give out, whether it's bad, it'll come back to us. So don't sow any seed that you don't want to come back to you. If you're sowing bad seed out there, ask God to forgive you. And ask and start sowing good seed, because I don't want to reap a bad harvest. I know you don't want to reap a bad harvest. So you need to sow good seed, because it's going to come back to you. So that's another thing. That's a promise within. If we within desire to give and to do and to help others, you see, within, that's going to enable us, you see. It's going to enable us to receive from God, because it says if we do this, we're going to receive, doesn't it? Okay, John 14:12, what I quoted a minute ago, verily, verily, I say unto you that he believeth on me, the works that I do, so shall he do, even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Okay? If we simply believe on Jesus Christ and what he can do and his word, you will be able to do what he did. As he directs you, as you dare to step out in faith, as you dare to step out of your boat, you will do greater things. You will see him in you, and he'll do it through you. Because he's at the Father's right hand right now. He's up there at the right hand of the Father. And you and I are down here. And he's saying, all right, I spent 3.5 years down here teaching you, equipping you, directing you, and showing you everything you need. And now I've commissioned you. But he said, now you need to go forth and do what I did, because there's a lot of work to be done. Harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, the word says. And you know that word means rotten. The harvest is ripe means the harvest is rotten, because the labors are few. There's much work to do out there with people. There's much going on today. We look in a world that we're in now, and really, if you look at the world, it appears like they're seeing nothing but trouble, perversion, trouble, liars, corruption, people calling good evil, evil good, fighting, hating, families fighting, everybody fighting. You're seeing things happen now like never before. Matter of fact, we're so close to the rapture. My wife and I over the weekend were looking at some movies we're about in time, tribulation time, during the tribulation period. And what these people said, the evil people, and how the people that didn't make the rapture were there, the things that were going on were just as about the same as what we're seeing now. People speaking perverted things and trying to make laws out of them. They have evil thoughts. They're doing evil things, calling the good people evil and evil good. And they were operating the same way during the tribulation period. So you see that spirit is here now, the spirit of Antichrist. And right after we leave, after we're raptured out, then, of course, after the church is taken out, then there'll be nothing withholding it. There'll not hold this evilness in. There'll be nothing but evilness on the earth, you see. You and I, as a church, are the salt of the earth. We're what's holding these things back, the Spirit of God in you and I, you see. And the greater we allow the Lord to use us, the greater power and more effective we can become to destroy the works of Satan. So you see, it's up to you and I to leave our salt, become very good as far as the world's concerned, and we're able to be the salt of the earth. Because that is what is making a difference here. We know it's God that does it, but he's doing it through you and I, you see. A lot of times we're saying, well, God, what will you do this? Will you do that? He said, I've already done it, and I've commissioned you to do it, so I need you to go out there and go forth with your words and your actions. He said, I'm with you. My word is with you, but you have to take the initiative with your feet, with your hands, and with your mouth. So you see, it's up to you and I to do something. A lot of people just say, God, do this and do that, and that's wrong, you see. He's called you and I to do something, you see. We're not to sit back and just say, well, God does this and he did that and going to do that. But you and I need to get active, folks, because the reason things are the way they are is because you and I haven't been as active as we need to be. We're seeing evil people in leadership, evil people doing things, and reason being, where are the good men and the good women at, you see? We've allowed a lot of this because it should not have happened. It happened because of we, the church. We blame the world and evil people and the devil, But why is it happening? You and I have authority over the devil. If one puts 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight, then why in the world are things the way they are out of all these people profess to be Christians, millions of Christians around the world, churches are thousands and thousands of people. Where is the reality of God showing himself in a mighty way to stomping out these evil things and these evil works of Satan? We saw a handful of disciples, apostles, and Jesus go around destroying things and really turning the world upside down. 12 apostles, what about you and I? Millions of Christians, you see, we should be having far more effect than what we are right now when we see what the apostles did. So we need to recognize, hey, we can do this thing. In fact, greater things we're supposed to do. This is a greater time. We talk about the end times, the great move of God. This is the greatest move beyond the Zuzu Street. There's nothing that you can relate to that any greater than what time is now, because this is the greatest time right before Jesus comes back. And God has pulled out all stops and everybody right here. So it's up to you and I to get a hold of that and go forth in Jesus. Okay, the next thing, then on the subject that we're dealing with here, promises that enable us, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to really teach on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to skim over it a little bit because of time and what it is. But the fruit of the Spirit, I'll just briefly go over this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is in everybody. It's filled with the Spirit of God. We have the nine fruits in our heart, okay? But those fruits mean absolutely nothing unless we release them out in time of need. We use the one like love. Somebody does something wrong to us, so we retaliate with them in love. We come back to them in love or in anger and hate, to say. In other words, we're tried. Am I going to come back in that person in anger or am I going to come back in love? Okay, things come against us. We have hard times, all right? Am I going to leave that fruit of joy come forth in me, or am I going to leave discouragement and disgust and everything else but that, you see? Our fruits depends on you and I, you see. Jesus instilled, matter of fact, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He's put it in there, right? But if it's in our hearts and doesn't come out, what good's it doing, you see? It must come out in our lives, you see, in order to affect people. So we have all these things, but they absolutely mean nothing unless we use them. We use, like, love. We either have joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't have to really go over explanation there. Gentleness, which is moral excellence. Goodness, that's kindness. Faith is faithfulness. Meekness, which is humility. Temperance means self-control. Against such there is no law. We have all these fruits in our lives, but it's up to us to activate them by acting on them, right? Action, it's an action word. These are verbs, every one of them, action. Remember, the name of this program, right, is God's Word in Action. God's Word in Action. So these are action or verbs right here that you and I have to act upon and put them into play, that they become a reality and they'll work. But we have these fruits within us. And there it's harder to operate and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit than the gifts of the Spirit or anything else, because it causes us to be dead to ourselves. Because you don't want to do this thing. When you're feeling bad, you don't want to have joy and say, oh, I'm going to praise you, Lord, I love you, Lord. You just feel bad. You might want to just get in the corner or just maybe put on a pouting or a pity party or something. Somebody does something wrong to you. I don't want to love those people. I'm mad at them. They did me wrong. They failed me. They cheated me. Or long suffering. I've put up with that person long enough. I've just been for years, I've been putting up with them. I've had it. I'm tired of them. That's it. You see, long-suffering. In other words, we want to relinquish these things instead of holding on to them. So in order to operate in these things, we have to be dead to our flesh and allow the Spirit of God to help us. And I found over my life, as I reach out to walk in these fruits, whenever I don't feel like that, I say, Lord, help me to do this, and then put forth the effort to do it. And if I put forth that effort, see, it's an act of my will. It's not an act of my feelings, but an act of my will, because the Word of God says I'm to love. So therefore, I must love them, not because I'm feeling like it, because he told me to do it. And if you do that and you denounce your flesh, you see, you're not doing what your flesh wants to do. You're killing your flesh. The Bible tells us in Romans, it said, we're to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The Spirit mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Romans 8:16, it said, by the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh. You and I are to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That means kill the deeds of the flesh by our spirit, man, because we're walking in these things, you see, in the fruit of the Spirit. The next thing is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I won't read them all, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us is to enable us within. In other words, what we have within that we can do the works that Jesus did without. In other words, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the character of Jesus Christ. That was his personality, his character, his demeanor, what he was known for. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are what he did, from raising the dead to casting out devils to speaking prophetically, everything. I won't go over all of them. I'm not going to explain them. Sometime maybe I'll do a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. The miracles he worked, you know, prophecy, everything that he did through the gifts of the Spirit. That's why Jesus can tell you and me, he said, the things that I do, you can do because I go to the Father, because he did them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the only thing that Jesus did that you and I could not do would have no significance is die on the cross and shed our blood, because it would mean nothing. He had holy blood. He had the Holy Ghost blood, God's blood in him. So that's the only blood that could pay the price. You and I could not have went to the cross. We could not have paid the price. But everything he did, he demonstrated. And if he did it in his power, in God's power, I could say, well, look, Jesus, you did that in your power. You're God. How can I do that? But he'd say, no, son, I did it in the fruits of the Spirit that I've showed you in my word, and I did it in the gifts of the Spirit, which is in my word. So you have that ability and capability, too, as I direct your life, if you just accept it and allow me to live my life and to work through you, you say. And that's what it is. That's what these gifts and fruit of the Spirit are. That's what they're about, his ability, his personality, his ability. It's really that simple, folks. Okay, the next thing, Proverbs 22:4, and this is some good stuff here. You need to listen to this, read it, and meditate on it, because you won't get it all tonight. You won't get it all. You listen to it again, but as you read the Word and as you have these verses, leave the Holy Spirit minister to you through this, and he'll give you revelations on it. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Humility is to know who you are and who Jesus is, who God is, who Jesus is. Know that you are nothing without him, and know that you are everything in him. Fear of the Lord is giving reverence and honor to him, not like the world is doing now and saying terrible words about Christ and cursing and ridiculing and having no respect, because God is God. He's holy. He's sovereign. And it's a horrible thing to denounce God and to not have a reverence and a fear and an honor of God. He says, fear not them that can kill the body, but him that can destroy both soul and the body. You see, he has charge of everything. God, you see. So we have to be humble before him, humble before people, recognize we're nothing except what he is in our lives and through us. But when you have that spirit, know that you're nothing and know that you are a giant in Jesus, because he's empowered you, he's in you, that's where he wants you to be. Reverencing and honoring him and recognize that he is God. Always humbling yourself before him and recognize that he is your leader. Never becoming proud or never becoming big-headed or think you are somebody or something crazy like that, because pride comes before the fall, right? So we have to put our flesh in its place. If God blesses you, that can be a dangerous time, because you come a little successful and all of a sudden you're like a superstar, and that doesn't go in the eyes of God. You're in for a big fall if you feel that way. I've seen that happen with people, and I've seen them fall. And I don't want to be one of those people, and I know you don't either. So we have to reverence and fear the Lord and just recognize who butters your bread. Amen? Like the old saying, who butters your bread? It's God. The next thing in Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, that's a very familiar verse, and I believe everybody could quote that. But do you really seek first the kingdom of God? Do you put him first? Is he first place in what you want to do? Or is your job, your money, and everything else first place and God second? Do you consider God first? I heard a preacher say one time, and I believe this is true. He said, when you move someplace, he said, you don't look and move where your job is. You find the church where it is, and then you get your job. That's really first things first. A lot of people would say, what? You mean you got to have a job before you move there? But, you know, actually, if you're seeking first the kingdom, you're going to go where God wants you to be as far as the church, because he'll provide the job. If it's God's will, it's his bill, he'll take care of it. If it isn't his will, then he won't. It's that simple. But I found that everything that God has had me do, if it wasn't me that was doing it, but him doing it, worked out. If it was me that tried to do it, then I found out it didn't work. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The mind of Christ. You know, we have the mind of Christ, but when we're in him and we're close with him and fellowshipping with him and in his presence, we don't have the mind of Christ if we're living out there doing what we want to do and then expect to have that mind. But it comes in an attitude of prayer, being close to him, being obedient to him, hearing his voice, doing what he wants us to do, worshiping him, praising him. See, it's a conditional thing. You don't make claims in God what you are if you're not walking with him and close to him. Because it's in him that you have this knowledge. You have this mind of Christ. You get revelation knowledge. You get understanding of things. You have this mind because he speaks to you, because you're in a close relationship to him. You're in his presence. You hear him. Your ears hear him, your spiritual ears. Your mind knows it. You know that you know in your knower, you see. But if you're not hearing that, if you can't hear that, you can't have the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ only operates when we hear God. You see, that's the mind of Christ. You know, I never really said that to anybody before. That's a word right there. That's a revelation right there. You don't have the mind of Christ except you hear. You hear. He's speaking to you. Whether it's inside or if he's giving you a word. That's when you have the mind of Christ. Only you can hear him speaking because that, you have his mind in. But when you're not hearing from him, you're in your own mind, you see. Amen? I don't believe I have to say any more about that. It's in him, because in him you have all things. Outside of him you have nothing. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, if you and I actually believe that verse, we wouldn't leave anything or anybody in this world back us down or scare us. You'd know that the greater one, Jesus, was in you, and you wouldn't be afraid to go any place that he directs you to, because you know that he's in you. You know that he's in you. If you really believe it, you know it's going to work out. And I don't say you don't have a little nervousness at times. You know, it's just like I heard a preacher say one time, that preached for many years. He said, somebody asked him, he said, you know, he said, you've been preaching many years. In fact, I believe it was C.M. Ward years ago. They said, Brother Ward, do you still get nervous when you go to preach somewhere? He said, yes, I do get a little nervous. I don't go up there like I'm just going to just know it all or something like that, but I have a little bit of nervousness about me. And then he commenced to say that if he wouldn't have that, he would be dependent on himself. But when he had that little bit of nervousness, that means he was unsure about himself and dependent on the Lord. And that is how it works, folks. The most effective person I ever known to minister, whether it's the first time as a Sunday school teacher or doing visitation or what they're doing, is one that said, hey, I can't do this. I've never done it before. How in the world am I going to do it? And I would talk to them about this, what we're speaking about now. And they would go out in the visitation, they would go out and teach. They'd come back with a testimony, a mighty testimony. You know why? Because God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When I'm weak, I'm strong. His strength is made perfect in your weakness, your lack, you see. And that's a sure thing to a God service, somebody teaching it, it depends on the Holy Spirit. You take a man, no matter how much he knows, if he's up there assured, well, I know this and I know that, and he's not dependent on the Lord to speak through him, you're going to hear maybe some truth in the word, but it won't be like the word you're going to hear from the inexperienced teacher. You're going to hear what God has to say. That happened to me years ago when I was ordained, many, many years ago. God spoke to me that I was going to be preaching when they were getting ready to ordain me. He spoke the night before, you're going to have a service. So I prepared myself. In those days, it took me a little time to prepare myself. And it took me a while. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it. Anyhow, I went in the service there, my wife and I, and the people were with us, and the hierarchy was in there, the leaders. And the man that was the man over the area, he came up to me and he introduced himself and said, by the way, he introduced himself and said, you will be speaking tonight. You'll be preaching tonight. And they never said a word to me about it, but he told me that. And about 45 minutes, I was up at the pulpit. So you see, God knows when to be ready, and he gets you prepared for it. You see, if you weren't prepared, he tells you about it ahead of time. So you see, with the Lord within you like that, you're not going to come out short, because he's going to warn you. He's going to direct you. He's going to provide for you what you have need of. He's going to see you through, because he's within you, isn't he? The greater one's in you, he's going to direct you, you see. And that's a confidence, isn't it? That's a confidence, because, you see, during those days, I was a nervous one getting up there. I mean, before all these people, and the first time, you know, and it was really, I was nervous. I was very nervous. But the thing about it is, God spoke through me, and my wife said that was really a great sermon. Everybody said that. And I thought, man, it was, you know. But anyhow, the Lord did it, you see. And I've learned something else about that. The times that I think I might have blown it when I'm teaching or preaching, I think, oh, my, I messed up this time. It turned out to be the best service because it wasn't what I thought. It was the way God thought. His ways and thoughts aren't mine. So it turned out to be the best service. You see, you and I sometimes get mixed up. Sometimes we think we're doing good and we're not doing so good. We're doing what we think. We're doing what our mind says, you see. But God said, you're not doing it the way I want. My ways and thoughts aren't yours. So that's why sometimes when we do things, we say, well, I must have messed up. This wasn't right. Well, you did it the way God wanted. It wasn't the way you would have done it, you see. So simply trust him. Let him lead you and let him and trust him the way he's leading you. Don't lean to your own understanding, your mind, like Proverbs teaches. Lean not to your understanding. But acknowledge him and he'll direct your path and accept what happens because he's doing it his way and his ways and thoughts aren't your ways and thoughts. If you and I can learn that and then accept it and just simply trust him in spite of what we are seeing or what we are not seeing, that'd be a great lesson for each one of us. Okay, the next thing is Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So there you are. There's things that come our way, things that we're dealing with in life. But recognize, you know, most things that come our way, especially if God, what God calls us to do are things that you and I can't do, and he purposely does that, that he can show himself in us strong and cause us to recognize that it is him doing it through us and show others that he's doing it through us to identify that he is God. He wants to show himself. He's not trying to show Ed Everly. He's not trying to show some other preacher or this program or anybody else. He's trying to show himself. We don't glory in the flesh. He don't glory in the flesh. Flesh is not to be seen. It's all about exalting Jesus Christ and exalting God. It's all about exalting him and glorifying him. It's not about us, you see. We have to get that us out of this picture and these names out of the picture and recognize that, hey, he wants to show himself, not me or you. He exalts or lifts us up to speak of him, and then when people go to come to us and say, oh, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, then we direct them who did it, and then we're directing them to him. You see, you're not accepting the glory. You can say good message, brother, or good this or good that. No, it's not good. It might be a good message, but it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit, you say. Always recognize it's never you. I take the credit for the bad things that come. I give God the glory for all the good things because I know if it was bad, it was me because God doesn't do anything bad. But if it was good, it was him because I don't do anything good. There's no good in me, like Paul said, right? There's no good in us. It's only good through Jesus. Okay, the next thing is Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what that more than conquerors means? You know, you could say, well, I'm a conqueror. Well, more than a conqueror is we had somebody that was a conqueror before us and we're just following his pathway. That's Jesus, right? So we're more than conquerors. We're following the conqueror, and we're just following the path that he led for us. He opened the path. We're just walking down the path. And that path is clear and open. But what messes us up when we're walking down a pathway? It's clear and open. It's already done. We have to the side of us, a little bit like Apostle Peter. Remember, he was walking on water, then the winds blew and all those distraction things came to him, and instead of keeping his eye on Jesus and walking straight and falling down the path, he started to look to the left and the right, and he sank, right? So we have things coming to the left or the right of us as we walk down the path, but it's up to you and I to have tunnel vision and block out them things and keep focused. Keep focused on the prize, you see. Set the mark, prize the mark. Press towards that mark and forget what else is happening. Because if you know you're following God and he's leading you that way, you don't stop to say, well, maybe I should not do this or maybe I should do that. Because you know Satan wants you to stop what you're doing when you're headed the right way. He wants to get you off the beaten path, see. So it's up to you and I to stay on that path, you see. Okay? Remember, you're more than a conqueror. You're a winner. You're a conqueror. You aren't the defeated. Satan is the defeated, and the greater one's in you. So, therefore, you are greater, too, because he is in you, you see. So you are destined for victory. You are destined for greatness in him. Not you. You're not great, but you are great in him. You're glorifying him. You're a great woman of God. You're a great man of God, you see. Okay, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, it's really that simple. If we go in God's word, we read on it, we meditate on it, he gives us knowledge and understand revelation. He speaks to us through it. And he said his words are life and health to us and our bodies, our minds. Life. It's everything. It's life and light. And as we meditate upon that, we start to light up within. We start to grow and we become stronger within. And he said, if you do that, he said, your way is going to be prosperous and successful. How in the world could our way not be prosperous and successful when God's leading? Is God a failure? Is the Holy Ghost a failure? If you're following God, doesn't it have to work out? Sometimes it looks like you lost the battle. Sometimes you get knocked down. But listen, I read the back of the book and it said we won the war, right? We won. We won, folks. We won. Next thing is Proverbs 23:7. Just have a few more to go. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart's not with thee. As you think in your heart, so are you. And, you know, let's really get that down to what it's saying. What you think about yourself, what you really believe about yourself, if it's believed in what others say or what you think, chances are it's not good. But if you want to have what God says you are, what God says you are, who God says you are is the most important thing. What people think of you, what you think of yourself is not important. But what God think of you, what he say about you, that's what you and I are to see ourselves as, you see. Not how we failed in the past, not what this one said or this one did, but see yourself as a word, you see, says. You are what God's word says you are. You are and you will become as you walk in that. You become stronger, you see. You don't overnight become an apostle, Paul, but you grow in these things. I grow in these things. We learn in these things. And as we go forth in that word, as we walk in that word and obey that word, we start to be diamonds in the rough we began with. We start to look more like a diamond, don't we? The more he hones the paraphernalia off of us and the roughage off of us, the more we start to look like a glittering diamond, don't we? And that's how he does it. As we meditate on that word, as we apply that word, then we become, because we're thinking like his word says, you see. And it's a matter of a mindset, you know. It's not mind over matter. It's a mind of God over matter. You know, the world has a way of it. They say, well, it's mind over matter. That's a science or an art. But we're not talking about a science or an art. We're talking about the mind of what the word God says, word of God says. A mindset in God's word that will not move. It'll stay firm. Being fully persuaded. That's what we're talking about. Amen? We're talking about that a mindset on the word of God. And as you think it in your heart, you become to believe it, you'll believe it. Then you start talking about it. You'll say it more. You'll start to act like it, and you'll actually become it. You get it in your heart by meditating. You continue to think about it, and out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. You start to speak it. As you speak it, you become bolder in it, and you start to act more like it. You start to assume it more, and before you know it, you put on the full robe of what that word says you are. You actually become it, you see, because you believe it. And that's what he says. He says, a man thinks his heart, so is he. So you become that. You become what you believe. If you, on the negative, just like a child, when they were small, if you said how stupid they were and they'll never amount to anything, if they fall into that suit and they continue to believe that, that's what's going to happen to them. I know people right now, I can name certain people, which I won't, were told things like that, and they turned out in a wonderful way. They were told things. In fact, Dr. Ben Carson was one of the very famous surgeons, you know, he ran for president. And this man, I've read his story, I've seen the movie and everything on him, and this man was down about as low as you could get in situations in life. His teacher said he was stupid, he couldn't understand things, he stuttered, he had some real major problems. But through his mother believing in him and helping him and through God, this man turned out to be the greatest surgeon in the world and one of the greatest figures and overcomers that I can tell. You talk about an overcomer, overcome odds, and a man that is really an honor to this country. We're honored to have a man like that, and a man that's such a blessing to all. It's this man right here, and I'm not glorifying him. I'm just saying what God can take. He can take somebody that's ready to fill in a garbage can and make a world-renowned person out of him, getting rewards and awards beyond what anybody got. But it's simply your mindset. What are you going to do about things that come your way? Are you going to accept the negative and what man says? Are you going to accept what God's word said? Are you going to go forth in that, you see? That's why we don't have a lot of Apostle Paul-type Christians, because they just want to accept what people say or what people think or what this church says or what that pastor says. But forget what these people say. Leave the Word of God and the Holy Spirit minister to you. And if the Word of God and the Spirit tells you something different than what anybody tells you, then if you know it's God, then you go with what God's saying. I don't care who tells it to you. Always make people back up what the Word of God says and have the witness of the Holy Spirit, because God is the final choice, the final decision. In fact, the Word of God says, let all men be liars and the Word of God be true. Amen? That's where you get your final answer, is through the Word of God. Isaiah 26:3 tells us, if we have a mindset, keep our mind on Him, it says, I will keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because He trusts in Thee. As we keep our mind and our eyes on Jesus Christ, we trust in Him, we believe in Him, we continue to follow Him, we're going to have peace, perfect peace. Because first of all, that pleases God, and we're going to have peace because we're trusting Him. We're not relying on what we see or don't see or our ability. We're relying on Him. And I think God is a pretty reliable source to rely on for what we have need of. I believe one that created the earth and the world and is in charge of everything, I believe He can handle our problems. We think we have big problems, but they're pretty minute when you consider what God did. They're very minute. And we need to see things in that light, folks. We need to see it there because God wants us to depend on Him. God's a jealous God. He expects full attention, folks. He said in order to serve Him, we have to hate our mother, father, brother. We have to hate our family. And I looked that word up one time, and I said, hate, that is a pretty strong word because God doesn't hate. But yeah, I looked that up, and you know what the word hate meant? This is Jesus speaking now. That means hate. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to hate our family. Don't misunderstand it. But He was emphatic about saying it's better to hate your mother and father and then put them first over Me. In other words, there isn't nobody that comes over Me. That's it. Everybody is behind Me. I don't care who they are. They're behind Me, you see. That's what He wanted. You put Me first. You put God first. That's what the point He's trying to say. He wasn't trying to tell us to hate. That's how emphatic He was about it, you see. So I take it that He means that pretty seriously, and something maybe you and I need to really look at more than we're really putting Him first place. Okay, I just have two more scriptures, and these are two good ones. They're very familiar, Mark 11:23-24. It says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Okay, what that's really saying in verse 23 is, believe and confess. Okay, Romans 10:10 says that we, with the heart, man believes on the righteousness, with confession is made unto salvation. We believe on the righteousness with the heart, and salvation is confession. Confession is made unto heart by our words, you see. We believe and we confess. Believe unto righteousness and confess unto salvation. All right. That's basically speaking. We use that a lot of time when a person receives Jesus Christ. You believe it and you speak it out of your mouth. That's to become your Savior and Lord. And that's true. That's basically that verse that we use for salvation. But you know, salvation of the soul, that's salvation of the soul, getting somebody born again. But salvation is more than being salvation of the soul. Salvation is for the whole ball of wax that God has for you. The plan of salvation is healing, deliverance, prosperity, joy, love, all these things. Everything is in salvation. But it begins with salvation of the soul, being born again. But do you know, everything received from God, we must believe first. Then we confess it. I believe what the Word of God says, just like Mark 11:24, the things you desire, when you pray, believe them, you'll have them. Okay, you believe what the Word of God says, by Jesus' stripes I'm whole, I'm healed, I'm well. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Then you say it. Mark 11:23 says you'll have what you saith, because faith is building up there. As you believe it in your heart, as you speak it out, faith is continue to grow as you speak it. And after a while, your faith will be built up that you'll just receive whatever it is. But you need to continue to say it because, you know, God spoke the world into existence, you see. It doesn't come by just saying, well, I believe it, I believe, I believe. You need to say it, you see, because there's a creative force in saying things. That's why the tongue is so important that we're slow to speak in all we do. The Word of God said in Daniel 1:19, we'll be slow to speak. Because words can have results, positive or negative, what we say, you see. They used to say sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you, and that's not true, because words can bring destruction on yourself and others, you see. As they become words, people begin to believe those words, and they act on them, and they become fear words, and it happens negatively. Just like people hear God's words, we speak the words, it's faith words, then positive things happen. So anything you receive from God, you believe it in your heart. You accept it. Then you declare it out of your mouth. You speak it out of your mouth. You declare. Just like prayer, a lot of people say in prayer, they'll say, well, what do you pray? How do you pray? Well, you know, actually, when you pray, you're actually speaking or praying or speaking back the word of God to God. In other words, your word says, Lord, by your stripes I am healed, and I call myself healed from whatever it might be in the name of Jesus. Well, you have a need. With the name of Jesus, I call myself healed. Your word declares it, Father. I'm healed. I'm well. I'm delivered. I'm set free. Lord, you said your word and your word that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Well, your word says that, Lord. I claim that. I believe it. Now, your word tells me that. And God wants to hear us say that to him, you know. He says, put me in remembrance. Tell me these things. And, you know, I believe a person that comes to the Lord, but he says that there's a difficulty maybe in receiving something, and you go to the Lord and say, now, look, Lord, your word says that I'm healed by your stripes. What's happening here? And you're confused about something. He takes pleasure in that because you're showing him you believe it. That's better than somebody coming to him and saying, well, Lord, I guess you're not doing anything for me. I guess your word's not this. I guess you don't want this for me. But he wants a man or woman come up there and saying, Lord, your word declares this. Now, I claim this word. It's for me. It's reality. And we need to be emphatic about God's word. We need to see this word work in our lives, you see. And that's what this program's about, God's word in action, not just words being taught and nice little sayings and churchy things. And, oh, that was a wonderful message. But words bring forth results. They don't come back void from God, you know. They do not come back void. And that needs to be your and my attitude when it comes to the word of God, that we don't allow anything to turn back void, and we pray, we expect it to happen. You don't hope it'll happen, or maybe it'll happen, but I claim it'll happen. Your word says that. We need to be emphatic, because if you're not, you might as well save your breath. A lot of people say, well, pray for me, pray for me. And I believe in praying for people, but I want more than people just to pray for me. I pray and believe. If you're just praying, oh, pray for Brother Abbott, oh, pray, blah, 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 whatever it is, well, that's fine. You're praying for me. I thank you for it. I want you to pray, but believe that God is going to answer those prayers and do what I have need of in my life, you see. Because you're not doing anybody a favor if you're praying for them and you're not believing that prayer being answered. That's sort of like, remember the woman with the issue of blood before Jesus. Remember when she was before Jesus with the issue of blood, and many of them touched him, but only the virtue went out of him with that woman. And why didn't it go out with the other ones? Well, evidently, they didn't have that faith. They weren't believing anything to happen, so nothing happened to them. But she had the faith believing, and the virtue came out of him, didn't it? And that's like our prayers. There can be a lot of people around praying, but maybe there's only one or two people really touching God. So believe and expect what you're praying, amen? First of all, have a right heart. Believe what that word says. Expect it and declare it out, and it will happen. Amen? Okay, that's part two tonight. In a message, and of course next week will be part three, and in part three we're going to be getting on to the other forms there of the promises of God, which are for provision. And we're going to see some other things. This is going to be a little bit different, but I want to get on some basic things here tonight that enable us. First of all, we were to be equipped and enabled, and I think what I spoke to you tonight in the teaching, through the Spirit of God, I believe that you are equipped and enabled. If you'll take these verses seriously and need the Holy Spirit deal with you about that, because you will be equipped and enabled. And when you're equipped and enabled, then you can receive the provisions because you're ready. You have a ready heart, as you saw in these verses. If you heard these past 2 weeks of messages, you know your heart's right now. You know it's a simple thing for you to receive the provisions in because you got to get through the basic parts or the foundational parts, and then you come to the other parts, you see. And that's what this is about. So when I was preparing this teaching right here, the Lord had changed some things around and made some alterations with some things here. So you're getting what God has here. You're not getting what I'm trying to teach you or just trying to bring something out, but this is what God directed me to do. He waked me up in the middle of the night, maybe he'll change something out or whatever, but this is what God is saying to you and I, and you and I need to walk in this. Before I close, before we sign off, I do want to say this to you. You might be there saying, well, this all sounded good to me, and Jesus sounds like, boy, he can do much for me, and I really need somebody like that, but I don't know him. These things sound good, but I don't know how to do these things. I don't really understand it. Well, I'm going to give an altar call right now because this is important. This is the most important thing that could ever happen is a soul coming to Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about. This is the most important thing, the most important miracle, the most important thing is to win somebody to Jesus. That's the all-important thing because you can be lacking everything here. You can be poor, sick, and defeated. But if you go to heaven or you go to heaven, you're still better off than somebody that has everything in this earth and goes to hell. Because the all-important thing is you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. And that's what this broadcast foundation is about. This is what I'm about, and that's what the people on this broadcast are about, getting people saved. So right now, if in your heart, if you sense that I would like to really have a new life, I'm tired of living the way I am, and I need a change, and I'm just not happy, I know things just aren't right, and I want to start my life over, I want a new lease on life, then God is speaking with you. And first of all, what he would say to you, he'd say, first of all, you believe that you're a sinner. And of course, you know you are. You know you have sinned. And believe that he loves you, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, shed his blood, be buried, and then resurrected for you. And then if you simply ask him, say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me and just be the Savior and Lord of my life. I give my life to you completely. And you mean that. It's that simple to be saved. But it's not in the words you say, it's what your heart is really saying in those words. If you're meaning the words you say and you're meaning it in your heart, you're saved, you say. Remember the thief on the cross said, remember me today. He acknowledged him and he was saved. So you see, it's about acknowledging him as Savior and Lord and wanting to change. And if you're willing to do that, according to the book of John 5, book of St. John chapter 5, verse 24, you pass from death unto life. You're headed downward into hell, really, like an airplane going down, 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 you know. And then you see all of a sudden they'll take a hold of the steering wheel and they'll pull it and then it'll shoot up. And that's the way we are when we receive Christ. We were headed down. But whenever we received Jesus Christ, God took his hand on that like steering wheel or whatever they call it. He pulled it back. And anyhow, we headed for heaven. And that's what he wants to do to you tonight. So right now, I want you just to repeat this prayer after me. And if you mean it in your heart, you will be saved. Heavenly Father, I come before you now. I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of my sins. I believe Jesus, you sent Jesus to die upon the cross for me. He died, he shed his blood, he was buried and resurrected for me. And right now, Lord, I just receive what he did for me, and I ask Jesus into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord, my Master. And I choose to serve him from this day forth. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to serve you and to be pleasing unto you. And, Father, you said that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I've called upon you. So now I am saved, Lord. I am saved. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. If you meant that prayer, we just prayed there. If you ask him in, you're saved. And what you need to do after I sign off the broadcast here is talk to the Lord. Just like you would talk to, like you and I were talking, just talk and just let him guide you. And a word of instruction, you need to find a church that preaches the word. So ask him to help you to find you a church, or maybe you have a good Christian friend or somebody that could help you that way. But you start in the book of John and start reading it and just applying it to your life. And as you do that, he'll become more real to you. You find a church as you learn more about him. But talk to him and pray and ask him. He'll take care of you. He'll do things even though you're brand spanking new. He'll show you things and he'll direct your life. And he'll take care of you. Just know that. But just let him direct your life now. And know that you're safe. Now, the next thing is, if there's anybody out here tonight that's sick and their bodies, they need delivered, they need set free, whatever it is, whatever you have need of, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I'm going to speak a word, and I'm going to release the anointing of God upon each one out here in radio land right now. Wherever you're at, it's not me. I want you just to see Jesus Christ. And when I release, I just want you to just raise your hand and thank him for setting you free, whatever you might have, whatever your situation, whether you're bound up sickness, disease, cancer, any force of darkness. Right now I'm going to release the anointing of God. And the word of God tells us that the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. That anointing, I just speak that anointing now. Oh, yes, yes. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for these listeners here, Lord, that they're hearing your word. And, Father, right now I ask that you reach these people. You love these people. You want to do works in these people. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over everything that has these people bound, sickness, disease, habits, drugs, pornography, evil forces. All darkness must leave. It must dissipate in the name of Jesus. I command darkness out of your life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And light coming in. I declare the sick healed. I declare those that need delivered now. Now. Your anointing going in and through their lives, setting them free in their minds. Yes, yes, lying spirits must leave minds right now. The lying, deceptive spirits must leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, gone. Gone in the name of Jesus. These things are gone out of your life in the name of Jesus. They're gone. Yes, now you rise up and say, I am free, I am healed, I am well, I'm your servant, Lord, I will serve you, I am set free to serve, Lord, I thank you, I'm yours, I give myself to you now, from this day forth, I recommit my life to you now, to serve you and be your child, serving you, thank you, Lord, oh, shadatikidakamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatikidatikamatik people are being set free now. I know, and I do ask you to, yes, that if God has set you free for something, whatever it is, I want you to send me, go to my website, www.extendedhandsofjesus.org. I want you to give me your testimony. I want you to, whatever it is, but please scroll down at the bottom of the slides right there and contact me right there, because I want to help you in any way that I can right there. I know God loves you, and he's done some work tonight. He's done some things here tonight, and I just want you to praise him and thank him for it. I just want you to praise and thank him for it. Give him all the glory, and just let me know what happened there, because I need to know what happened in your life, because God gets the glory. It encourages me. It blesses me. I know it blesses Evangelist Montel and everybody that's on these programs, because we like to hear your testimonies, not just this program, but every program. Okay? I want to thank you all tonight. And like I said, I do ask that you do visit, like I said a little bit earlier there, going to the www.blogtalkradio.com and look at the on demand right there of the broadcast, and you'll see my broadcasts on there. I encourage you to listen to all of them, the one especially last week for the series, but all of them as well as the others right there, and I know they'll bless you. So until next Tuesday at 6 Central Time and 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I just pray God's blessings on you. I love you all, and you have a blessed week. See you next week now. Bye-bye.